Would you bow your head with me and let's share a word of prayer together? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us to come together with the saints around the word of God. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. The Bible says, how wonderful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That is when we come together in unity of purpose, the reason we are together is the same. Our goal, our objective is the same. The Bible says it's a wonderful thing. And there your presence, your oil, your blessings are manifest. The Bible says there you love to command the blessings. So command your blessings upon the lives of your children tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters and their loved ones, everyone that is joining us for this service tonight. Lord, command your mighty blessings from heaven upon their lives. In the name of Jesus, grant us grace in this service, illumination, understanding. Help us. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You are the great teacher. Teach us. Loosen my tongue to speak your word. Loosen, Father. Speak through my tongue. Think through my mind. And grant all of us understanding to be able to receive revelation and knowledge, experience, wisdom, and great grace in this service tonight. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Really excited to be here. I don't have a lot of time for revision, so I'm not going to go all the way back. I'm just going to pick it up from where we left off last week. We're learning our theme, and I hope you've joined us. If there's anyone who's joining us for the first time today in this service, I pray that you can spare some time and go back and just get some of the previous teachings, because Revelation is progressive and we have been laying foundation and one block upon the other to get to this point. So if this is really your first service, you may not really have a lot of context for where we're going tonight. And what will be very helpful to you is to be able to go back and actually just study some of the previous lessons that we have already done. And then that way it's easy for you to build on that foundational platform that we have already laid with the help of the Holy Spirit. But tonight, I don't want to do a whole lot of revision. We are learning our study. Our theme is knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. Knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. This is about our second month on this study. We started this early in the year. And like I said last week, we are going to, by God's grace, we are going to complete this month. Last Wednesday, we went over this particular concept here that I described as one of the most important ways of knowing God more. There are four major ways we get to know God more. The first one is through habitual fellowship, through ministering to the Lord and walking in close fellowship with Him. The second one is through zeal and desire, through loving the Lord with passion and committing ourselves to do things for Him, because zeal grants us easy access into the revelation of God. The third one was what we started to learn last week, and I said it's really one of the deepest ones. That's why we're devoting two full weeks to it. It is knowing God more through revelation and experience. Knowing God more through revelation and experience. And the fourth one, which is where we're going to close out this series of lessons, is knowing God more through sharing His nature and His purpose. Knowing God more through sharing His nature and His purpose. Well, last week, we got into this aspect of knowing God more through revelation and experience. I know I talked about this profound thing that Oral Roberts wrote in his book that I read many times through the years, but it just really didn't hit me until I read it again. I don't know, maybe the 50th time I've read it, but suddenly it stood out. And sometimes that's the way revelation works. You may have seen the same thing over and over and over again, and it just never really registers. And then suddenly it's like, whoa, it's light, it's illumination, and it comes at you and it draws you closer to the Lord. And Ora Roberts used to say, we understand God more through the word and experience. He actually picked that scripture. He picked that concept from a scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible actually says that literally in the amplified version of that scripture, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13, that we draw understanding. We draw understanding. It's probably the first scripture we should read tonight. And skip some of the other ones that we've read for several weeks just because of time. But this scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 in the Amplified, listen to what it says now. It says, happy is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. Drawing the man or woman who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. So Ora Roberts used to say that. And I tried to explain a few things last week. You remember we read from Mark chapter 8, I'm not going to read it tonight. It's a long one. I have too much ground to cover. But the Lord was talking, interacting with his disciples. And he had done so many things that they had seen. He had done so many miracles that they had experienced. They were there. They were there. Mostly all of them were a part of the outworking of those miracles. They actually experienced them. They were not like hearsay, like somebody was telling them about it, somebody shared it with them. No, they actually heard about it. They saw it happen. The Lord made them a part and parcel. It was Andrew who went around looking, trying to get bread. Who has bread? Who has fish? It was some of the other, Philip, who came to talk to him and say, Lord, what are we going to do? They were a part of it. And yet when it happened, it didn't register. When it happened, it was supposed to have drawn them closer to God in a way. Those experiences, at the very least, the experiences of the multiplication of bread were supposed to open their eyes to a revelation of God, God's nature as this multiplier of resources. El Shaddai, who has no limits. The one who can produce something out of nothing. The multi-breasted God. And yet, when Jesus was saying something to them, but he was using the analogy of bread, their minds immediately went to, oh, we forgot the loaf in the hotel room. We forgot the loaf in the hotel room, and Jesus thinks we need bread again. We might need to feed some people with bread, or we might need it ourselves. What are we going to do? We don't have that. And Jesus said, weren't you there? Do you remember? See, because he said, why? And this is what he asked them. He said, how come you don't understand? Why do you have eyes and don't see? Why do you have ears and don't hear? Why do you have, your heart is alive, but why is it so hardened that you can't perceive the knowledge of God? And so we saw from that scripture, revelation and experience combined together to help us understand God more. And when we are walking in the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we learned that last week too, Jesus seeks to reveal the Father to us, and he does it through the Holy Spirit. We read scriptures about that. I really don't have the time to go back and read them tonight. But when we're walking in the revelation of God, through the word, our life's experiences and everything, we actually gain understanding of God. We gain understanding of God. One of the things those disciples should have learned from the experience of the multiplication of bread was God can never come up short. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. God can never come up short. He is a multiplier. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will see to it. God can never. That part of God, this understanding that part of God, draws us close to Him. Like is our provider. Remember that song we sing, Jehovah Jireh, my provider? His grace is sufficient. His grace is always sufficient. It's not just sufficient for the things we have to do, but it's sufficient for every need in our lives. All right. So, walking in revelation produces understanding in our lives. Like Ora Roberts said, we gain more understanding of God through the Word and through our life experiences. Through the Word of God and through our life's experiences. But what is the key? What is the key? The key is we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. The disciples were not paying attention. They saw it, they experienced, but they went, it didn't register in their heart. They didn't pay attention. In order for revelation to become a manifested reality in our lives and to produce understanding and to draw us closer to God, we've got to pay attention. We've got to pay attention. Now, we did pray last week. We closed out with that prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Remember, that prayer is very, very closely linked to what Hosea, this is a scripture we've read just about in every service, in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. He said, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand Him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish Him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn, and He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. That prayer we prayed from Apostle Paul's prayer, where he prayed that the Ephesian church would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that their eyes of understanding will become enlightened or become open so that they can know the things that are freely given to them in Christ, the things that belong to them, thereby actually getting closer to the Lord. That prayer is a prayer, and I hope you've been praying that. That's where we closed the service last week. I hope you've been praying that for yourself. That's a prayer. Don't just pray it one time. Don't just pray it regularly. As a matter of fact, every time you come to the Word, and I hope you have a regular relationship with God, with the Word of God. I hope you have a time of ministering to God in His Word, receiving ministry by the Holy Spirit from His Word. Remember, we've read this scripture over and over, 1 Samuel chapter 3, where the Bible says there was no revelation, but Samuel, the little boy Samuel, ministered to the Lord in His Word, ministered to the Lord. And because he did, God revealed Himself to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. God revealed Himself to Samuel in His Word. So when we have an ongoing, consistent, committed relationship with God through His Word, God reveals Himself to us through His Word. But every time you come, make this a consistent prayer of yours. Lord, open my eyes. In fact, take it in faith. Thank you, Father, for my eyes are open today to see. I know what I need to know. I see what I need to see. I receive wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I receive the eyes of my understanding. They are enlightened, and I know the things that I need to know, and I can partake of the things that I need to partake of in my intimate relationship with you, Lord. That should be a prayer that we pray regularly, and then pay attention. When you get into the Word of God, pay attention. Remember what the Word says. He said there, when you pray, he said, the Word of God is light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of His Word gives light and understanding to the simple. He says that in Psalm 119, and in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and God was God. And then he tells us, that Word was the light of man, that light shines in darkness. Darkness cannot comprehend it. So, revelation comes out of the Word. There is no revelation without the Word. And so pray that prayer for yourself. Pray what the psalmist prayed. You remember Psalm 119, verse 18? Pray that prayer. Psalm 119, let's read Ephesians 1:16 first. I'm going too fast. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, from verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Pray that. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Here it is. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open, this is the psalmist praying. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Open my eyes, Lord. There are wondrous things in the word. The revelation of God is in his word. So when you open it, remember, we're learning about knowing God more through revelation and experience. Where's revelation coming from? From the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. Revelation and experience. So when you get into that word, pray. And the Bible says, in his light we see light, Psalm 36, verse 9. Remember? It says, in your light, that's, I think it's Psalm of David. In your light, we see light. Well, the light is the Word of God. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. With thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In the light of his word, we see light. Revelation comes through the word of God. So, pray for yourself. The Holy Spirit sometimes, you remember, he's the author and the administrator of all revelation. The Holy Spirit may show you something. You are reading something in Psalm 36, and the Holy Spirit can show you something that you can't really see it directly. There is out of it, but it's a revelation that he pulled together from so many different parts of the world. And here you are trying to juggle it up, but the revelation came from the Holy Spirit because you were in Psalm 36 and you were paying attention. And you may go from there, and you may go there, and you may go there. And as you do that, the revelation of God becomes available to you. He said, in your light we see light. So in the light of his word, in the light of his presence, in the light of his covenant, we see light. We suddenly know. We suddenly see. And the more light we have, the closer we are with him. The Bible says, anyone who is in Christ must walk in the light. You can't walk in darkness and say you are. No, because one of the evidences of our close intimacy with God is that we are walking in the light. Walking in the light of his word. Amen. Now, I'm going to have us move this a little closer tonight. Remember when Jesus said to those disciples, how come you have eyes you don't see? How come you have ears you can? How come your hearts are so hardened? See, everybody has ears, but not everybody hears the Holy Spirit when he's speaking. Everybody has eyes, but not everybody can see what the Lord is showing them. You remember even the Revelation churches. Remember the letters written to the churches in the book of Revelations. To every one of those, there's not one of those churches, not one of those letters that the Holy Spirit authored, where it didn't say, he who has ears, Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, the churches is the believers. So even though we read it in a corporate sense, we really also should personalize it. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the believer. Now we have ears. But these people he was talking to, they had natural ears. He didn't say that because some of them were deaf, naturally. No, they had ears, but many could not hear. But he said that. In Revelation 2:7, that's one of, I think that's the very first one, but he goes on to all the churches, right? Look at Revelation 2:7. This is one to the letter. There's a letter. This is the letter sent to the church in Ephesus. Let's read it from verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent, do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove the candles. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the parable. And he didn't just say that to the Ephesians. He said it to all of the why. It's not because they didn't have ears. Say, he that has ears, let him hear. No, they all had ears. He that has, is everyone has ears, but not everybody hears what the Spirit is saying because they are not paying attention. Remember, in one particular one, he said to them, buy of me and receive. Let me anoint your eyes with eyes of verse 8, Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. Look at what he says here. This is to the church of the Laodiceans. He says, I counsel thee, 3:18, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. That you may see. That is the key to revelation and understanding. That our eyes are open. Not just through Daniel fast at the beginning of the year. Not just in one season or no, but right through. As we live our lives, as we walk, that our spiritual eyes will be open so we can see. Our spiritual ears will be open because that is where revelation comes from. Now, I want us to go look at a few of these things here and look at one or two things that are really important where revelation is concerned. I want us to read about Paul and Paul's encounter with the Lord in Galatians, how he describes it. He was describing this in Galatians chapter 1. Let's read Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. We're going to read all the way to 16 and then we'll pick it up in Galatians chapter 2. We're talking about knowing God more through revelation and experience. And what are we saying? Paying attention is the key to revelation and understanding. Paying attention. First of all, of course, we have to be there. We have to have habitual fellowship. We have to have zeal. We have to be zealous, passionate, love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. But then we have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention. Have our hearts there. Don't be in the Word and you are at your place of work at the same time. Don't be in the Word and you are in the grocery store at the same time. Don't be in the Word and praise God. You are taking notes sometimes or you are helping some other people and things interacting and, but even then, make sure you are not losing your attention. Make sure you're not losing your attention. Because sometimes that's happened to me before. I'm sure it's happened to you before. I'm writing all these notes. Whoa, I'm as the Lord is ministering, whether I'm listening to somebody minister it or I'm studying and I'm writing and I'm writing and writing and, you know, and I finish and maybe a few hours later, I can't even remember what it was. I have to go back and look at the things that I wrote. and then meditate them. And then the revelation begins to come. The revelation came when it was first introduced, when I was writing it and typing it or whatever. But I did not enjoy the full benefit of that revelation until I went back to study it, to hear it again, to see it again. You know what I'm saying is true. Don't buy into this assumption that many people make. I heard it once. Oh, I have it now. No, none of us gets it the first time. None of us. Sometimes the Lord will call Peter's name three times. Will call somebody's or whatever. Somebody's, you know, sometimes it takes hearing it three times. Yes, sir. Sometimes it takes seeing it three times. Again and again, or more. For the revelation to begin to register. I told you about what I read in Oral Roberts' book for years. But it didn't really register that way. That if I want more understanding of God, a greater understanding of God comes through the Word and life's experiences as they combine together through the activity of the Holy Spirit. But how do they, you see, when we go study a little bit in Philippians chapter 3 now, verse 10, you see these dots being connected. There's so many people who just never see the dots connected. They miss out. They pass on revelation after revelation, pass on opportunity after opportunity to draw closer to Lord, to know God more, because we're not paying attention. That will not be us going forward in Jesus' mighty name. Let's read in Galatians. Our time is running here. I'm almost halfway here. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you, Lord. We've got to get this done tonight. Let's read in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians and chapter 1. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 11 to 16. He said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." What is Paul saying? This gospel, this assignment that he got from the Lord, he didn't get it from somebody handing it to him. It's not a second-hand or third-hand gospel. He said, "I got it by revelation." And God has a first-hand revelation for every one of his children. He said, "Yeah, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher." Yeah, that's true. But you are a child of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. And the Holy Spirit has first-hand revelation for your life, for you. The Lord wants to reveal the Father, Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to reveal the Father through the Holy Spirit to you personally. Remember what he said in the revelation, to the revelation churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But like I broke it down for you, it's not to the churches as just corporate. Yes, he had a message for the churches, but he had a message for every individual part of those churches. That's including you and including me. He says, "This gospel came to me by revelation." He said in verse 15, "When it pleased God," well, let's read verse 14, verse 13, "For you have heard of my conversation, my life in the time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." He had zeal, but he had it for the wrong thing. He said, but in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God revealed his son in Paul by the activity of the Holy Spirit. And he said, when he did, I paid attention. I did not confer with flesh and blood. Growing with other believers. Iron sharpens iron, but there is a place where we receive what people say. We receive the pastor's message. We receive the preacher's word. We receive, but the time comes when we get with the Lord ourselves, one on one. And under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we begin to grow in that revelation that God has for us. And that revelation draws us closer to him. Nobody has ever had a revelation of God that was not closer to him. Nobody. Nobody. Now notice, Paul said, I went up by revelation. Now let's jump to Galatians chapter 2 verse 1. He says, then 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. The Amplified says, I went up because it was specially and divinely revealed to me that I should go. It was specially and divinely revealed to me that I should go. God has special revelation for you of himself. God has divine revelation for you of himself. Every one of us, everyone, no believer should be living in the early days of Samuel. No believer in this century should be living in the early days of the young boy Samuel. When the Bible says revelation was scarce, there was no open vision of God. No believer should live without a revelation of God in their lives. All of us should have a revelation of God. As the Holy Spirit works with us, as he teaches us, as he opens our eyes, as we grow in it. Now notice, even though Paul had had all of this revelation and had all these encounters with the Lord, and he knew by revelation God, more remember the Lord appeared to him on the way to Damascus, but he didn't stop there. As he continued on, he continued to receive revelation of God. And we know this became a constant in his life. You read this, his life is this was, and every revelation brought him to a place of understanding. Every revelation, every encounter brought him to a place of greater understanding with God. But he was hungry for that revelation. He paid attention to God. He heard the voice of God. And through the word and through the voice of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But he paid attention. Hallelujah. He paid attention. And that hunger, that desire never stopped. Years and years and years and years came and passed, and Paul kept on growing in his desire to know God more. That's why in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, let's go there together. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, my determined purpose, this is the Amplified, my determined purpose is that I may know him and progressively become deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power of his resurrection. Notice, Paul, we say he knows God already. He's worked with the Lord for years and years and years. And yes, he says, my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. So, in being hungry and in being committed to knowing God, he became a student of the Holy Spirit's revelation. You see there, in that scripture, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, to be intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more clearly and more strongly. Hallelujah. This is actually something that we have studied a little bit in one of our services, but let me put a little bit of light on it before I run out of time here today. He said, to be deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding. Those are three aspects of receiving the revelation of God. Three aspects of knowing God more. And this is perceiving. What does it mean to perceive? To have inward knowledge of God without necessarily having outward physical or natural evidence. That's what we call heart knowledge. It's perceiving. So he is growing in his inward knowledge of God. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us in our hearts that we are children of God. We can have knowledge, the knowledge of God, inside of our heart without any outward evidence. You can just know God is working in your life. God is moving in your life. The more we perceive him, the closer we get to him. The more we perceive him, the more we grow closer to him. To perceive him is to have greater inward knowledge of God without necessarily having outward physical or natural evidence. And Paul says, I'm growing in that. Well, how is he growing in that? Through what we've described, the process we've described. Yielded to the Holy Spirit, paying attention, acting on the word of God, and allowing the revelation of God to settle within him. Going back over and over to meditate the word. Going back over and over to pay attention. And then, in his life experiences, allowing the Holy Spirit to connect the dots for him. To have an inward knowledge of God without an outward appearance. Then he says, I'm growing in recognition as well. What does it mean to recognize this? This recognition is to be able to identify and accurately interpret the outward evidence that we see. Oh, I have scriptures here that I can't read. But you remember, in the early days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, when everybody came together and said they are drunk, well, Peter said, no, it's only 9 o'clock, it's the third hour. It's only 9 a.m. in the morning. We can't be drunk. So what you see, this outward thing you are seeing, is not alcohol. It's not wine. It's the Holy Spirit. Remember what he said. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he started telling them, reminding them what the prophet Joel had prophesied. See, he recognized it. Now, the people did not, but he did. And when you grow in recognition of the workings of God, you draw closer to him. You can tell. I'll show you, we'll close out here. We'll close out with the story of Jacob. Still have a few things to do before then. But you see, because Jacob, you know, it was a secondhand knowledge of God he had. He just knew, yeah, my father and my mother, they are covenant people, but hey, that's it. And they taught him a few things about the covenant. He wanted to use the covenant to move ahead in life. But he didn't really have a relationship with God until the Lord revealed himself to him in Haran while he was running away. In Beersheba, when he was running away from his brother Esau. And when he got up from his dream, he said, wow, God was in this place and I didn't know it. See, that's to recognize when the Lord is walking. You can see the outward evidence and you can recognize it. And in so doing, we are drawn closer to the Lord. Because deep calls to deep. There are some people who think, oh, it's alcohol. But some other person says, that's the Holy Spirit. There are some people who say, you remember, even in, there's so many scriptures here, I can't read them. But even when, you remember when the Lord directed Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 to send for Peter. And Peter came and he didn't know what was going on. And this was a Gentile household. By tradition, by custom, by their covenant, they were not supposed to mix with Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles don't mix. But the Lord sent him there. After giving him that revelation, you know, he saw that those animals coming from him. He said, this is unclean. God said, eat it. He said, I've never eaten it. He said, eat it. And whatever I have made clean, don't you call unclean. Ha, okay. It's recognition. Okay, all right. Yeah. And then when the people came from Cornelius, God said, go with them. He arrived in Cornelius' house. He opened his mouth and started to minister. It wasn't long. The Holy Spirit fell on all the people there. Gentile, that had never happened before. It was first time. Peter recognized this is God. Now, some of the people who heard about it accused him. Why did you go there? Why did you do that? He said, look, let me tell you what happened. It's Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. I don't have the time to read all these scriptures. I wish I did. And I wish we could actually maybe spend a little bit more time, but we have to close this part of our service or this part of our teaching. We have to close this out tonight. He said, no, while I was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them and I realized. Actually, we can read that one in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 from verse 15. Let's go read that. And this is actually more talking about understanding, but I still want to read. Let's read it right here. Acts chapter 11 in verse 15. Acts chapter 11 verse 15. So you're growing in perception, perceiving. You're growing in recognition. Perceiving is all going on inside you without any outward evidence, but you know it's God. Recognition is going on outside. And people don't understand, they don't know what's going on, but you know it's God. It's not something else. You can connect the dots. There are miracles God does in people's lives, and they don't even give God the credit. And then there are havocs, there are hazards that happen in people's lives that the enemy introduced, but they are blaming God. God, why do you kill my child? God, why do you take my job? God, why do you burn my house down? God, why do you break my engine? God didn't do it. See, the reason they believe is God doing it is because they don't have recognition of God. They are not close to him. If you are close to him, you know the closer you get to him, the more you know he loves you. He's not looking for a way to hurt you. People say, yeah, God was teaching me through sickness. No, he doesn't teach people through what his son died to take away from them. As recognition. God doesn't teach people through sickness. It's not in the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm into 45 minutes. I mean, I don't want to get sidetracked here. But are you getting something here? Through recognition. He is the healer, not the seeker. Hallelujah. He's not the inflictor, he's the healer. He's not the one who crushes, he's the one who mends. He mends our broken hearts. He's our comforter. He's not the one who bruises us. He doesn't hurt us. He doesn't hurt us. He doesn't put out our lamps and put out our lights. He doesn't take away our advantages in life. That's not him. So when we see things happening in the outward realm that are like that, we recognize that that's not him. And in growing in our recognition of him, we get closer to him. I want you to see this scripture here in Acts chapter 11. Acts 11, what verse did I say? I think I said 15, 17, 15. Acts 11, 15. This is Peter explaining. He said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he gave unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Woe was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and they glorified God. See, he saw the dots connecting. He said, that's God working. And the more we grow in recognition, the more we grow in perception, the more we grow closer to the Lord. And then the last one Paul talked about was understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is to be able to perceive, to be able to recognize. See, it has everything. Has the two previous ones and others. To be able to perceive, to be able to recognize, to be able to explain, to be able to preempt, to be able to act upon, and to be able to grow in the knowledge that you acquire. The knowledge of God that you acquire. To perceive it. To recognize it. To be able to explain it. That's why we talk about understanding God more. Because there are certain things about God that we can explain. There are certain things about God that we can perceive, we can recognize, we can preempt. Remember, in that scripture here, I don't think we didn't read the Acts chapter 10, but it was Peter, when he recognized that the Lord was walking, he said, where is water? Let's baptize them. Let's baptize them. Because the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. He said, where is water? Let's baptize them. That's Acts chapter 10. I'm not sure what verse that is from verse 44. While Peter yet spoke this words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which had the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? That this should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, and he commanded them to be baptized. He preempted it. There's nowhere there where he says the Lord told him, baptize them with water. No. Because he understood this was the Lord working, he preempted even their water baptism. He saw the Holy Spirit fall upon them. Well, we're not talking about things in abstract, we're talking about how we draw closer to the Lord. Growing in perception, growing in recognition of the things of God, growing in understanding of the things of God, will draw us closer to Him. Will draw us closer to Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Growing in perception, growing in recognition, growing in understanding, will draw us closer to God. Will draw us closer to Him. And a point comes when we can lay hold on it. That is, we just understand it. We comprehend it. That nature of God, that thing, like, hallelujah. I think it was a story about Billy Graham. Of course, several years before he passed on to heaven, while he was still doing his evangelistic ministry. And story was told about how he was on a plane, and it was a commercial plane, and the plane suddenly came into turbulence. And you know what happens when a plane comes into turbulence? Everything is, and everybody was scared. Those who never prayed before started praying. People said, oh Lord, my God, oh God, my God, oh. And everybody was afraid. And you know, the people, what were the The people waiting on the people were, yeah, hostesses, thank you, Lord. Hostesses on the plane, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, started telling, fasten your seatbelt and do this. And then there was this gentleman acting like there was no emergency somewhere around the middle of the plane, acting like there was no problem. I mean, everybody was terrified. And one of the hostesses came to him, sir, didn't we tell you? And then some of the other passengers were screaming at him, what's wrong with you? He said, hey. He said, you think God will allow this plane to crash, go down, and Billy Graham is on board? Nobody knew Billy Graham was there, but he knew Billy. He said, look back there. Who do you see? Everybody look back. It's Billy Graham. We said, you think God will let this plane crash and Billy Graham is on board? That is funny. But think about this for a minute. To understand your covenant with God and to understand God that much, where you know He's committed to your well-being, He's committed to your protection, your preservation of life, He's committed to your prospering, God is committed to you, period. My time is almost gone here, Lord. I don't know what to read about Jacob before I close this up. You know, God is committed to you. You can actually lay hold upon it. I tell you what, let's not do that this week. We'll talk about that, comprehending it. Let's talk about it before we close this out, when we learn the last major way to know the Lord, through sharing His nature and sharing His purpose. We'll talk about understanding there. Let's where you talk about how to actually comprehend it. Where you comprehend, it becomes yours. You know that part of God's nature becomes personal to you. Boy, that's as close as it gets. And you just know that you know that you know that you know God is going to do something for you. It's like those three Hebrew boys said, you know, they threatened them. If you don't bow to this image, we're going to die. If you don't do this, we're going to die. He said, okay. We're going to throw you in the fiery. Okay. They knew that. They knew that our God whom we serve, He will deliver us. They knew God. They understood. They had a revelation of God. Even in the face of the burning fiery furnace, they would not flinch. Our God will deliver us. See, they understood that aspect of Him. They knew Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I pray that we all know Him. Oh, I pray that we know Him for ourselves. Not just what someone told us about Him. Not just how they describe Him to us. Not just what we've read, what we've seen, what we know. But that we know Him. Like Paul said, that is my determined purpose, that I may know Him and know Him, become intimately acquainted with Him. We know that we know that we know who our God is. It's not just a hearsay. It's not secondhand knowledge. No, we know Him. And you do that through growing perception, growing in recognition, growing in understanding of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's close out here. I want to that's really the story I want to read. Jacob, my time is almost up here. I only have just 2 minutes to close this, so I probably can't even read the whole thing. But let's close out here in Genesis chapter 28. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you. Genesis 28, let's read from verse 10. Genesis 28 from verse 10. And Jacob went out of Beersheba, went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up from the earth. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. And the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it unto thy seed. Let's go all the way down. It says in verse 15, and behold, I am with you, and will keep you in all the places where you go, and I will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. Verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of sleep, and he said, surely, hallelujah, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place, and he suddenly got a revelation of God. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow. See, nobody asked him to. Nobody asked him to. But he preempted it. Anyways, he came into a level of understanding. See, he didn't know. He didn't have, but God was in this land, I didn't know. But he came into a level right there, through that revelation, through that experience. He vowed a vow saying, God will be with me. And if you will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothes to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that God gives me, I will surely give a tithe of all to him. I will surely. Well, nobody asked him to. Of all that God gives me, I'll give a tithe. He preempted it. He explained. He understood it. He drew close to him. I will share everything I have with you. Oh, Father, we thank you for the ability that you have given to us to come into greater revelation and knowledge, greater understanding of you. I thank you, God, for every one of my brothers and sisters online with us tonight. Thank you for bringing us into a greater place of revelation, experience, knowledge, and closeness and intimacy with you. I give you praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Thank you, saints, for joining us tonight. What a wonderful time we have shared together in the Word. I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to reveal himself to you, reveal the Father to you, and grant you understanding of all that we have studied tonight. We're out of time, and I'm looking forward to our next session next week. God bless you. Have a good night.